Welcome to Olay Utah State on KBLU 92.3 Logan, Utah. I'm Sean.
And I'm Ethan. What's up, what's up? CJ is not in the house. He was going to be running the board today, and he decided he didn't want to do that, so he's sick. Yep. No, I'm assuming he actually is sick. I don't think it had anything to do with that.
No, we do have to give him crap a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we'll have to give him more crap when he's here to defend himself, but...
I like making fun of him while he's not here. It's easy.
Well, I mean, it's easy both ways, but, I mean, it's just a matter of, well, we're going to have to do it when he's here as well.
Exactly.
I mean, we wouldn't want him to miss out.
No, we don't want him to miss out. So today we kind of had a long break because of the 4th of July. Basically, we had a lot of soccer, but we're just going to kind of talk about the last week just so we stay relevant, I guess.
Yeah. Also, before we jump into soccer, I do want to mention one other bit of news. Tim Duncan from my San Antonio Spurs has retired. He announced his retirement this morning. So, yeah. I mean, it's bittersweet. I mean, on the one side, you know, he's old enough that, you know, I mean, you expect him to retire. And on the other hand, it's sad to lose him as well.
Right.
But at the same time, like, it allows for them to have, like, start a new era or whatever. So.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's retiring. I figure Manu Ginobili probably will at the end of next year. So, losing some of those big pieces from the five titles that they've won. So.
Yeah, I saw that this morning. I didn't really know what to think. Like, he's been around for forever.
Yeah, 19 years. And, you know, the only person who's stayed on, who's been in the league for longer and stayed on the same team was Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. For me, I mean, I think it's more impressive that Tim Duncan was able to, because he's a big man and they aren't able to last with their health as long. And right. Also, he went to college for a couple of years, so he came into the league older.
Right.
Kobe Bryant came straight from high school.
Right.
So, I mean, they're both super impressive careers, illustrious. They both had five titles, so it was a pretty cool generation. They both retired this year, so.
Right.
I mean, they were all but that first year that Kobe Bryant was in the league. Like, they were in the same, like, they were both in the league the whole time that they were playing, so.
Right. Well, and I think it's funny, too, like, just thinking about it, like, they went out in, like, the ways that you'd expect. Like, Kobe was really big. Like, you know, he announced his retirement the first of the season, so everywhere he goes, it's, like, a big farewell. Yeah. And then Tim Duncan, just, like, at the end, he's like, hey, I'm out.
Yeah, and I'm glad that that wasn't really, like, that he didn't do the whole, okay, I'm going to retire at the end of this next year, because then it would have the whole farewell tour thing again, and I just think that detracts from, you know, what the team is trying to do.
Right.
And so I prefer this way much better, just, like, after the season, I'll give some time to think about it and be like, okay, well, I'm calling it quits because, like, I'm at that point where I feel like it's right, and instead of, yeah, I'm going to retire at the end of this year, so everybody spend thousands of dollars to come to a game to see me play.
No, that's, it's just, yeah.
And it, like, was, I felt like it was a money grab.
Right.
And maybe the Lakers asked him to do it that way, say, hey, like, are you thinking about retiring next year?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you should definitely announce it so that we can charge people more for admission, because obviously, other than to see Kobe Bryant play in his last season, there wasn't much draw to watch the Lakers play.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, anywhere they go, like, there's not much draw to watch them, because either they're playing against another team that's equally as bad, or they're going to get destroyed.
Yeah.
And they, it's just, I don't know, it was not good basketball.
No.
From the Lakers this year.
No, it was not. But interesting thing about Kobe, so he's actually a really big fan of soccer. Like,
yeah.
He announced it. Like, I saw one of the commercials for the
Copa announced he was America. Going to MLS. No, it's
that'd be great. I'd take Kobe. No.
But, it, you know, if he did go, he would go to the Galaxy, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know that, right?
I know. I you can
Why
dream,
would
though.
He move to Salt Lake?
You can dream. No, but, so, yeah, Real Salt Lake played Montreal this week. I actually didn't go to the game. But
Sinner.
CJ did. He's not here, but... basically, from what I saw from the highlights and stuff, was it just looked like Real Salt Lake played like a really attacking game, but like we just couldn't score. And then, you know, Montreal gets this kind of scrappy, like defensive mess up on Real Salt Lake, like right in front of the goal, you know, and they just put it in. And but we ended up getting a PK late in the game, and we ended up tying. So we didn't lose, but we tied.
But we keep tying.
Yeah, exactly.
Why do we keep tying, Real Salt Lake?
Exactly. No, like, I know me and you were talking before the show, like, you can't, like, we're in third place right now, tied with Galaxy. And we used to be a couple games ahead of Galaxy, and then we just keep tying at home. And a lot of interviews from the players after the games have said, like, we can't afford to tie at home. If you want to be on top of the table, especially in the West, you can't tie at home. You gotta, those games gotta be 3 points.
Yeah, and like any sport, when you're talking about your home field or your home court,
right?
Like, you gotta defend that. You gotta win, you know, a lot more than you don't win. Mm-hmm. And I mean, with soccer, it's slightly different than most other sports because you can end it with a tie.
Yeah.
I don't think any other sport, you know, is cool with that.
Yeah.
But soccer is. But yeah, when you're at home, like, you can't just settle for ties, and you can't lose. You got to win because, I mean, that's your field. You got to defend it.
Right.
It makes me think of the Under Armour commercials. We must protect this house.
Yes.
And so, I mean, now with, like, basketball, the really good NBA teams are really good at home.
Right.
Like, the Warriors and the Spurs last year both only lost, like, 2 games at home all year.
Right.
Which is insane, given how many games they play. And then, like, with football, I mean, home field advantage is so huge in the playoffs that, like, you have a team, like, a lot of teams will not lose at home.
Right.
Like, I don't think that New England lost at home last year. If Denver did, they only lost one. But, I mean, you get to the playoffs, and that was a huge thing because, you know, Denver ended up squeaking and getting home field advantage during the playoffs. And then they, you know, when they faced New England,
right,
rather than playing in New England, where New England is really hard to beat, they played in Denver, where Denver is really hard to beat.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, I think Denver won.
Right.
Now, if that was in New England, it could have been a completely different story just based on the atmosphere. And so,
right.
I mean, I know that we've got some very avid Real Salt Lake fans, and they make a lot of noise on game days. So, I mean, it's definitely going to be a home field advantage.
Right.
And like, you got to take advantage of it.
Yeah, you do. And that's what I was going to say. Like, with playoffs in soccer, it's a little bit different because they play both places. They'll play two legs.
Yeah.
And I know that, like, when they play, like, a few years back, we played Portland in the playoffs, and we actually lost 2-0 at Portland. And then we came back home, and I was at that game. And it was one of the most exciting games I've ever been to. We ended up scoring 2, so we went into overtime or extra time and ended up winning 3-0 in that game, but 3-2 on the aggregate. So it is crazy. Like, you want to kind of have that home game second, and that's the advantage, because then you get to kind of finish out the series.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
I mean, for me, I wish that they would always do extra time instead of or at least a PK shootout. Like, if you don't want to, like, have the guys run a bunch more,
right,
at least do the shootout. Because for me, I hate that they end in ties.
Yeah. Sometimes that whistle, though, is like a savior whistle. Like, I know there's games I went to where Real Salt Lake will somehow come up with a lucky goal, and then the other team is just attacking, and they end up getting one, and then you're just like, blow the whistle. Come on, let's go. Tie. We'll take a tie.
Come on, blow the whistle.
Not at home, though. At home, you want to win.
Yeah, well, I mean, but that's the thing, is like, I feel like, you know, we have some of those teams that will just, like we talked about before, I think, maybe it wasn't with you guys, but we're talking about how, you know, some teams just kind of bide their time. This was on a different show. It was last Tuesday. And we're talking about how different teams just kind of bide their time and go for a tie rather than a win.
Right.
And so, I mean, for me, I think that if they took away the ties, like, that would give teams more incentive to try to actually win the game every time.
Right.
Because, I mean, obviously, at the moment, you can get points for tying, not as many as for winning, but, like, when you lose, you don't get any points, obviously.
Right.
But I think if they took it away and just do wins and losses, and so if they don't want to do extra time, like, during, like, friendlies or regular season games, then, mm-hmm. you know, have shootouts.
Yeah.
I mean, why not? It doesn't add that much like to the game. I mean, it's an easy way to do it. And I mean, obviously it works because they use it in playoffs to determine who wins.
Right.
So.
No, yeah. And like, I know, I mean, it doesn't happen very much on a professional level, but I remember back in high school when I watched soccer, the two coaches, if it ties, can actually talk, like, because it's the same thing, like the game's over, but if the coaches really want to be like, okay, we want to find out who wins in extra time, then they can like both agree to say, okay, we're going to do penalty kicks or we're going to do extra time, and then they'll play, but it's still a tie in the books. It's just kind of like for pride, for I guess. Rights. Yeah, bragging rights.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I feel like, you know, this is just me. I'm not an avid soccer fan like some people. I mean, I like soccer. I mean, I was playing FIFA a lot yesterday.
Okay.
And I started a new career last night where I'm a player for Real Salt Lake, and I'm going to be awesome. I got a hat trick in nice. My first game.
Dang.
Of course, I had the difficulty down, but that's beside the point. But anyway, so, I mean, I don't get why people, like, want to keep the tying thing. I mean, I guess maybe it's because I'm an American and I want to win.
Yeah.
And I don't want to tie and I don't want to lose.
Right.
So, I mean, I feel like they should take away ties. Like,
just take away.
Yeah. I mean, I think during playoffs, have them play extra time to see who wins and then penalty kicks.
Mm-hmm.
But during the regular season, if they don't want to do that, just do penalty kicks. I mean, they're not going to exert your guys much more.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe your goalie a little bit, but it's not really like he's running all the time.
Right.
Sure, he has to put a lot of energy when they shoot, but for the majority of the game, he's just standing back there waiting.
Yeah.
It can be super boring. And so I think it would inspire people to, you know, actually try to win because, you know, you never know on penalty kicks, like, how well the other team's going to do. And so you don't want to let it get to that.
Right.
It's kind of like with hockey where they have sudden death.
Yeah,
that's exactly. Another thing that they could do is because it's like kind of a similar setup to hockey. Have them do sudden death overtime, mm-hmm. like extra time. So whichever team scores first wins.
Yeah, and they have – it's called the golden goal is what that's called. I'm sure you've, I don't know if you've seen that on FIFA, but
– I didn't remember it, but yeah, I did see that at one point. But yeah, I mean, you could do that. I feel like the tying is just dumb.
You just don't like the tying.
No, because like I want to win. I want to have a winner and a loser, not two that are drawing. So I mean,
right.
That's just how I see it. As a competitive person, I think that you have to determine a winner. I don't think you can go for a tie or whatever.
Yeah.
And that way, instead of having the table where you have, you know, this many points for each team, mm-hmm. you can have wins, losses.
Yeah.
Or even if you want to keep the points thing, just like you have more points for winning in the regular time as opposed to winning in overtime.
Yeah.
And so, like, say you get 3 points for winning in regular time and 2 for winning in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess if you really wanted to, you could do a point for losing in overtime and then none for loss in regular time.
Yeah, that's true.
That's kind of what they do in hockey. I know that they don't do the whole winning in overtime is less points than a regular win, but they do. They get like 1 point for losing in overtime.
Okay.
As opposed to not getting any points, because I mean, you should get rewarded if you make it to overtime,
right?
At least don't get a straight up zero,
yeah.
On it, but yeah, I think that they got to do something because they think it's pretty dumb that they can tie every time.
Yeah, because I mean, yeah, it would like completely change the game because like when you're in an away team, and you're playing at somebody else's place, you like if you get a tie on the road, that's kind of like you're good with that. I mean, obviously if you can score a goal, but like you'll notice if people or if a team ties, they're tied, kind of like Montreal did with us, like they're gonna take their time getting to the ball, they're gonna, you know, start time wasting, you know, maybe a guy goes down to stretch or whatever happens, you know. And that, yeah, like so changing that would completely change the game because then they'd be going all the time.
Yeah, I mean, they would still have the breaks like in between plays like they do and the running time or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really going to drastically change how it's played. It's just going to change people's attitude about
right.
trying to win. Because at the moment they're like, yeah, well, we're good with getting 1 point on the road. Like, we'll go for the tie.
Right.
And you have a lot of games that end 0-0 because
yeah, that's true.
You know, either one team can't score and the other one doesn't feel like it, or you have both teams are incapable of scoring or don't care if they do.
Right.
Because they're like, you know what? You know, let's just go for the tie. We each can, you know, stay where we're at in our own tables and stuff. And it's right. just, I don't know. I think it would be tons better if there was actually a winner each game.
Right. No, I can see that. Yeah, and then, of course, this week also was the Euros. So there was lots of stuff in the Euros. I just want to quickly mention Germany lost, which nobody...
Well, they lost kind of early.
They lost in the semifinal to France, who's the host country, but they lost 2-0. And, you know, I don't want to discredit France at all. I mean, obviously they made it to the final, but they don't have, like, a ton of attacking.
Yeah.
And Germany is the defending World Cup champs, you know, and it was surprising because Germany is just so good. Like, nobody... Yeah,
they're super good.
Yeah, it's like, nobody even talked about Germany losing. It was like, okay, Germany's going to play, like, this team or this team in the final, you know?
Yeah.
And then they lose. I mean, they almost lost to Italy in that PK shootout, which was the most ridiculous PK shootout I've ever seen. Like,
and why is that?
Well, so there was 10 PKs. It was a long PK session, and 4 of the 10 PKs were missed. Like, not blocked, just completely missed.
No, yeah, we talked about this a little bit last
time. Right, and it's like, these are professional players, like, nonetheless German players, and they're missing, like, not even on target, you know, so that was interesting. But, yeah, so they lose to France, and then, you know, Portugal is able to squeak by, kind of, you know, they really didn't do that amazing in the tournament, but they were able just to kind of get results in PK shootouts and everything, and extra time goals, and that's what happened.
And wasn't Ronaldo, like, out of the game for most of it?
Yeah, so in the 25th minute...
Did he come back?
No, he came back out on the field, but he didn't play.
Okay.
I watched the highlight, or I don't know if it's a highlight, but the play where he got hurt, and it just looked like he, like, passed the ball, and he planted his foot, and then he got, like, hit. And it looked like he twisted his knee, which isn't really that great, but the thing was, he went down twice.
Which isn't really that great.
Yeah, no, it's not. That's horrible. I mean,
obviously, messing up your knee is not great. I don't feel like you had to say it, which is not that great.
Yeah, no, it could have been worse, I guess. Like,
well, I mean, yeah, it almost always can be worse.
But, yeah, so he goes out. He actually goes down twice, and, like, I don't know. As a Ronaldo fan, it was kind of emotional watching him because he goes up for a header, like, couple minutes later and comes down, and he just kind of you can see that look of like freak, like,
oh,
and he looks over at the coach and does the, you know, the switch sign, and he goes down, and he, like, kind of throws a tantrum and throws his captain thing off because he knows he's done, you know, like, he knows he can't play, and he gets stretchered off the field. But later, I think halftime, he actually comes out. And he's walking on his own. He has it all wrapped up and everything, but he's at least walking on his own and everything. So that's good news for me. But apparently there was a report I saw on ESPN where he actually, he, like, was the one that did the pump-up talk at halftime.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of the Portugal players are saying that was their, like, motivation to win kind of thing. So that's kind of cool. But yeah, and then Portugal ends up scoring a kind of crazy goal, like, in the extra time. It was probably 30 yards out, maybe, and he just, like, turns and shoots, and it's on the ground. It didn't go up in the air. It was just on the ground, and it just sneaks past the goalie and goes in. And it was kind of, when I was watching the play, like, when I was watching the highlights, I didn't actually think that was the one that they scored on. Until it happened, and I was like, okay, well, good job, Portugal. Lucky goal. But and then the other thing that was crazy is watching all the attacks that France produced. Like, I mean, off the post, lucky saves by the goalie, deflections, like, everything that could happen except for scoring happened for France. And
it's okay. I don't really want France to win anything.
They don't usually win much.
Which makes sense because... They're really, they've got a big history on surrendering. So.
They do.
So, I mean, I don't feel like winning is necessarily in their culture.
Yeah, I mean, I think.
I don't really know. I've never been to France, so they're probably good people. And they probably do want to win, but.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, I think the only thing they won was the French Revolution, but they were fighting themselves, so.
Yeah, so, I mean, there was a 100% chance they were going to win one way or the other.
Yeah, so,
I mean, yeah. I guess that was while no one else, like, outside of France came to try to take them over.
Yeah.
And if somebody else tried to take them over, I think that whoever would try to take them over would win. But,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately for France, you know, they had a kind of a crazy tournament, especially like with Iceland making the run that they did and everything and beating Germany. Like that's, even though they lost the final, they beat Germany, you know, and that's pretty intense.
Yeah. It was really exciting to see, and everyone in Iceland was super excited about it.
Right.
And apparently Iceland's manager is a part-time dentist. So, and you have the other guy, whoever they beat, like is their manager gets paid like millions of dollars.
Right.
That's all he does is that. But the guy from Iceland is a part-time dentist. I feel like Iceland is the Alaska of the United States, of like the world.
Yeah, no, seriously. Like, I remember we made that joke all the time. Like, you know, when they started beating, like when they beat England, it was like, these guys are like fishermen. And like, this is not, soccer is not their job full-time like these other guys, you know?
Yeah.
Like they have other jobs, you know, obviously, like you said, like coaches with part-time dentists, you know? Like they've got to make money elsewhere. And I don't know. Like just talking about France and like all the attacks that they had. I know me and CJ were talking last week, like how it's insane to watch the similarities between France right now and Real Salt Lake. And I don't really want to say that.
How dare you?
I know, right? But like Real Salt Lake with Martinez, with Sissian and Plata, like we have a really exciting attacking front. It just seems like sometimes when we really need them to score, they can't get it in the back of the net. And it seems like we just do attack after attack, and it's like France. Everything will happen except for us scoring. Last game we obviously got a PK, but other than that, we didn't score. And then the other team gets like one little scrappy goal, you know, and that ends up, you know, being a goal that changes the game, kind of thing.
I think most goals change the game, but yeah.
True.
I mean, I don't know what the problem is. On FIFA, I score with the Real Salt like all the time.
Yeah. No, I've thought that a lot. If people could
like
just
last night, I won that the first game that I played as a rookie on Real Salt Lake as a 17-year-old rookie.
Right.
We won 7-1, and I had a hat trick, and I had like two or three assists as well.
Yeah.
So, needless to say, I was awesome.
No, that's what I was just saying. Like, if everyone played like I play on FIFA, like we'd be so good.
I mean, there's no way we lose. Like, I also have a career as a manager of Real Salt Lake, and we're undefeated. So.
So maybe you need to go, you know, call.
I need to go to be the manager.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's call up Real Salt Lake's front office.
Like, listen, my resume.
Listen,
I've been undefeated on FIFA for 2 years.
On FIFA, I am currently undefeated.
Right.
Yeah, I only recently started playing this version of FIFA, but I'm undefeated.
Just so you know.
And I feel like I can bring that to the real world on your team, especially where, you know, I've been watching soccer off and on, you know, every once in a while for a couple years. Yeah. I played it when I was younger, but I mean, I've watched it, you know, every now and then for the last couple of years, not consistently and mostly just highlights.
Yeah.
But I can bring that expertise to Real Salt Lake. If you're listening, hire me. No, I'm just kidding. No, I feel like I would. My plan is to be a coach on like football and basketball.
Right.
And I feel like I'll do a good job when I get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely don't feel like I have the knowledge and expertise to be a soccer coach at the moment.
No, there's still things that happen in soccer where I'm like, why do they do that? And then it, you know, it takes me a little bit to like realize like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not like, it's not something I could figure out, and it's not like I think that I'm just like so smart when it comes to basketball and football, but I do study them almost religiously, so I feel like I'm a lot closer on those two sports.
Right. No, I don't know. I think you'd probably be a good coach for those, just from talking with you about it.
Well, I hope so, because that's my goal.
That's your goal.
That's my plan.
That's your plan.
I'm gonna be a teacher and a coach. So
nice.
So hopefully I do a good job.
Yeah, and I don't know. It's just it's kind of frustrating, like you were saying, to watch Real Salt Lake. And, like, it's kind of like what you're talking about with the U.S. team, except our problem isn't that we're not attacking. It's just that we are, and we're not getting the goals.
Yeah.
So I can see, like, the frustration there. And the thing is the last game I went to, I like I said, I didn't go to this last game, but the previous games that I've went to, Rio Tinto has been relatively full, which is really good. Unfortunately, I feel like there's not very, like, there's a small percentage of diehard soccer fans in Utah that, like, go to the games no matter what. Because previous years, you go in and there, if Real Salt Lake's not doing very good, there's just not as many people.
Yeah.
And that kind of sucks. Like, and I know Jeff Kassar has said that many times in like, post-game interviews, that Real Salt Lake, like, the players, like, feed off the energy at home. And that's what we're kind of talking about. The advantage at home is the crowd.
Oh, yeah, and, I mean, it's huge. I mean, anywhere you go, the team will feed off of the home, like, fans.
Right.
And that's something that I felt like we were lacking for at least basketball this year here.
Yeah.
Is we had a lot of empty seats, and, you know, it when we're full and we're all just, like, being a part of it, it is really loud and really tough to play against our team
right
here in the Spectrum.
Yeah.
But then when we only are filling up this Spectrum about two-thirds of the way, like, and people aren't really being that loud or cheering and stuff, like, it really takes away an advantage that we would have. And I know that, you know, for me, whenever my fans were loud when I was in high school and playing, like, that gave me more energy,
right?
And when we're not giving that to our teams, like, you know, we're not helping them to overcome maybe their struggles that they have with, you know, overall talent and stuff. So I think that it is important. Like, you have to have people there, and you have to have them cheering loud. I mean, it's some people aren't wired to do that, and it's unfortunate, especially with professional sports, where you have a lot of times you'll have people there, and they just are just chilling there. They're not really engaging in what's going on in the game.
Yeah,
sure, they're passively watching, but they're not really, you know, getting into it.
Yeah.
And it's just sad for me, because I think that, you know, sports are awesome, and I love sharing at sports games and being excited. But, like, when I go to a Jazz game and, like, nobody's cheering, it's like, really, guys?
Yeah.
I mean, we're supposed to have a home court advantage, and you're not even helping.
Like, no. Right.
Sure, they're playing in the gym that they play in half the time, but does it really matter if you're not helping them?
Right.
It's like more like it's a neutral game.
No, and I think that was one thing that attracted me so much to soccer was, like, even though there's a small percentage, like, they're pretty loud, especially with their drums and all their instruments that they bring to the game. But, like, I remember going to a Jazz game just recently, like, within the last year, and it was super quiet. And, like, it was like I was watching it on TV, but with the worst seat, you know, because I was sitting up in the nosebleeds. So, but, like, I think soccer does usually bring that extra, like, oomph to it, I guess, like that. But, you know, we're definitely not as intense as other places in the world. Like, I know with, like, the big games like Barcelona, Madrid, like, those games, first, like, tickets are sold out for years in advance. Like, if you tried to buy it, well, I mean, and the other thing is, it's hard to just buy a ticket anyway. You'd basically have to know someone that had season tickets to one of the teams and try and buy it off them. But, like, they have, like, an entire police force there to separate the Barcelona Madrid fans, because, like, there'd be fights. And, you know, like, I know there's been stories, like, at World Cups where people have, like, died because of trampling or whatever. It doesn't happen often, but it does happen. And so, like, there's good and bad with it, but, like, that energy definitely helps feed the players.
Yeah, and, I mean, the thing about it is, like, that's one thing that is really awesome, is that throughout the world, like, soccer's so huge for everybody that, I mean, it's like a way of life. And, I mean, I know that my brother, he served an LDS mission in Brazil.
Okay.
And anytime the local team scored, you knew. Because the ground shook and you could just hear this loud roar of the crowd. And, I mean, so, and that's, you know, something that I wish we did a little bit more here in America. Yeah. Just get more excited about stuff. Because, I mean, when Real Salt Lake scores, like, it should be loud, like, everyone cheers. Because, I mean, that's the thing to get excited about in soccer is right. when they score the one goal of the game.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's the thing. And, you know, there for a while, like, when we were kind of at our height, not that we're done, but, like, in the time that I've watched at our peak, you know, we were doing really well. We were always at the top of the table. Like, every game was exciting. And we had a lot of people, and I think people, because at the time, the Jazz were not doing very well. That was kind of in their low period, I would say. And so a lot of people were all of a sudden like, hey, look at us. Like, Utah has something worth cheering about right now. And recently, it just hasn't been that. You know, like, Rouse looks still doing okay, but.
Well, they're doing better this year than they did last year.
Right, right.
So they're back on the upward trend.
Yeah. And you know, and that's just Jeff Kassar being a new coach and everything. Like, it's just taken him a minute to settle in and kind of figure out who he is as a coach, I think. Because Jason Christ was that was our previous coach, and he just was such a force and just kind of a unique guy that when he left, it was kind of like we didn't want to change anything. It was kind of like, you don't change what isn't broke. Like, you know, because we'd went to the final that previous year before he left. And so we tried doing that same thing, and then it just took him a little bit, Jeff Kassar, to realize I'm not Jason Christ. Like, I can't do what he did. And
well, I mean, it's all about a matter of finding your guys fit together
right.
the best way. And I don't know, maybe that worked the year before, but maybe just the style that, you know, he wants to play is different, and so it doesn't work out quite as well. And so you do need that filling out period where it's like figuring out, you know, how things work best in your system.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, they're not going to have the same system.
Right.
And so it's not an issue of him trying to be the previous coach. It's a matter of him trying to figure out how the guys on his team work in with the way his system is run.
Right.
And so I don't know. I wasn't paying attention. This is just from the perspective of, you know, thinking about being a coach, that it's not that he was trying to mimic what had worked in the past. It was a matter of him, you know, just trying to figure out how his system would work with the guys he has.
Right.
And so not knowing the guys coming in without having spent time with them.
Yeah.
You know, it takes time to figure it out. I mean, when you look back, when the Miami Heat, when they got the big three together.
Right.
You know, that first year, they had a lot of struggles because they were trying to figure out how they played with each other.
Right.
And I mean, that's all I'm assuming is what it was, is that the coach was just trying to figure out how to implement his system with the guys that he had and just learning how to utilize them in the best way. And so, I mean, I think for any time, like, you have a coach for the first year, a lot of times it's tough.
Yeah.
Because you don't know the guys yet. You don't know all their strengths and weaknesses and how to pair them with other people. But as time goes on, you figure it out. And right. I'm assuming that's what has happened.
Yeah, no, like, for sure. That's exactly what's happened. You know, he changed the formation probably about halfway through that first year as a head coach to a 4-3-3, which is a lot more attacking, where Jason Christ did a diamond formation where it's a lot more holding and possession.
Yeah, I don't like that.
It worked well at the time, but like you said, we got different players. I mean, that first year was kind of weird just because we had a bunch of strikers that didn't really know how to fit into that yet.
Yeah.
And then as we went on, you know, we've made some big signings with, like, Movsisian this year. Because, like, that's what's made us so good this year is, you know, I know that there's more than one person in the team, but Movsisian's really, like, like, done the, like, you know, made the big, you know, like, the big change in everything.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he's kind of that last fitting puzzle piece into the big puzzle of soccer. But I don't know. We've just done a lot better this year with, like, our players forming together and not putting as much pressure on our older players, like, you know, Javier and Kyle, because they're getting older. They're, like, 30s. So, like, we need to be able to kind of bring up that young talent that we have and kind of keep competitive that way.
Yeah, and that's a vital part of the whole thing is team chemistry. And I think that's really – they're finally getting that a little bit. And obviously it's going to just – I mean, it should get better as they go along.
Right.
And, you know, that's something that you've got to work on. And I know that that's the reason why they sometimes put in those younger guys is to, like, kind of get them so that they're capable of, you know, taking over if one of these guys like retires or whatever. So I think it's important to try out different things and to keep working to build that chemistry with everybody. And you got to do it also with your subs. With basketball, at least, like when you're doing subs, I mean, you don't want to just like pull out all your five starters and then put in five guys off the bench who, like no one's been in the game, so they're not like warm. They're not in the flow of things.
Right.
Instead, like you bring in a couple at a time and like have them still play with the starters that are still in, and you have those starters, you know, kind of help them get in the flow.
Yeah.
And then when they're in the flow a little bit, then you can pull out your other starters and do it, and then work back in the starters you pulled out first. I mean, it's a matter of, and you also, you got to do kind of your rotation similarly each game, because if one game you have your starting five and you pull out, you know, two guys first, and then the next game you pull out the other three first and you put in a different three guys than you did the game before, like it,
right.
It just kind of messes with the flow, because, I mean, if you have it set up where you have, you know, two guys that come in first and they're playing with a certain three guys that are left out there.
Right.
They get used to playing with that group, and so they're able to still have success. But if you put in, like, guys that aren't used to it, like, sometimes you have to. But when it's just a regular substitution, like, and you got to keep some kind of, you know, continuity, and then they have to be used to playing with each other. It's going to be a little bit rough for a little bit.
Right.
I mean, they'll get over it, but it might be slower than you want it to be. And with soccer, it's kind of a similar thing with your substitutes. I mean, first off, if you substitute someone out, you don't get to put them back in. So
right.
You have to be smart about your substitutions.
Yeah, they're a lot more, like, pressing and, like, more important, I think, just because with basketball you can constantly rotate.
Yeah.
But with soccer, you know, you get three subs in a normal game. So.
And you don't want to put in someone who hasn't played with, like, you don't want to, you know, put Antonella in for Raimondo.
Yeah.
If he's not used to... You know, if he's like cold turkey, if he hasn't played at all for a couple of weeks, like, you want to be careful about that.
Right. Well, funny story about that. I can't remember what team it was in the World Cup, but somebody was playing, and they had this goalie for their country that was really good at PKs, and they subbed him in, like, in the 119th minute and to do PKs, and he ended up saving three of the five PKs or something like that, and, like, ended up winning the game for him. And it was, like, one of the craziest, like, substitutions, like, you know. But
I mean, you don't often sub your goalie.
Yeah, you obviously don't. Obviously, yeah.
Your keeper.
Your
I
keeper,
guess.
Yeah.
This made me think of this meme that has, like, this picture of a girl who is, like, wearing, like, a goalie outfit for soccer.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, if she dresses like this, she's a keeper.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that's for sure.
If you meet a girl like this, she's a keeper.
She's a keeper. no, that's funny. I guess this is a good segue kind of into our Soccer for Dummies. Yes.
If you don't know soccer, but you want to pretend like you do.
Exactly. Like, maybe.
Or at least learn about it. I mean, you don't necessarily have to want to pretend like you know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But if you want to learn a little bit, we're going to give you some insight on
right.
Some tips to share around the water cooler.
Yeah, so maybe you know, you're in an office, like we said last time, where there's a bunch of soccer fans and you're just kind of trying to make a good impression or trying to fit in, so you're trying to talk about soccer. Or, like what you were saying, Ethan, maybe there's a girl that plays soccer, but you don't know anything about soccer, but you want to kind of try and impress her.
Because she's a keeper.
no, but basically, big news this week. We kind of already went over it, but Cristiano Ronaldo is out. He went out in the 25th minute of the Euro final. It's kind of like the same thing with Messi. You just kind of throw his name out there, and usually the other people will kind of take off with it.
Yeah.
So there's that. You could talk about how Portugal won even without Ronaldo. And that's kind of a big thing. And also Messi from last time, he actually – so I don't know how many of you guys know that he was in trouble for tax fraud.
I saw something about that.
Right. And so he was actually sentenced to 21 months in prison. But obviously he has lots of money. He's not going to see any of that time. So you can talk about that even, just, you know.
So, I mean, so here are your tips, okay? When you're talking about soccer, just be like, oh, I couldn't believe, you know, Ronaldo went out with that injury. And then you know, Portugal was still able to win. It was probably because of that great halftime speech that Ronaldo gave.
Exactly.
That's all you have to say about it.
Yeah. Like, that's what we've been talking about for the last 20 minutes. You know, and it happens all the time. Like, I know me and CJ actually work together in an office here at the TSC. And, like, sometimes one of our coworkers will just say something about soccer, and then all of a sudden it's been, like, an hour, and me and CJ have just been talking. So that's literally how it goes. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, and then also, and you know, what about Messi? I mean, his taxes were messy, if you know what I mean. And so, I mean, he could have jail time, but I don't think it's going to happen. But, you know, he's got the money. He can pay bail or whatever, so.
Yeah, and that's basically what I was saying. And it, like, all you have to do, like, if you have a boss or something that you don't really want to do work, you just kind of want to name him to talk about soccer, find someone that's a Messi fan in your office and find someone that's a Ronaldo fan and just get them going at it.
Look, yeah, I just feel like Ronaldo is the better player. Say that to the Messi fan.
And then it'll just
Messi
start...
fan, you say, or to the Ronaldo fan, say, yeah, Ronaldo doesn't even fit in the same class as Messi.
Exactly. And that'll just start like an inner war between your offices.
Make sure you do it in the cafeteria so you can have a food fight.
There you go. No, it's true, though. But yeah, so those are your tips for Soccer for Dummies this week.
Yeah, and just like talking about Ronaldo versus Messi, who do you think's better?
Well, I think most of you guys already know Ronaldo's my guy, so...
But do you feel like he's a better player than Messi?
So, basically how I describe this, because I've had this argument many times with some friends that are Messi fans, and it's basically, like, I'm going to explain why I got to my conclusion. So my upfront conclusion is I like Ronaldo better, and I think he's better than Messi. But the reason why is because I learned all my stuff, like you are doing right now, through FIFA. And so my style of play in FIFA reflected who I thought was better, because that's who worked better for me. And so my play in FIFA is very run and gun, and, like, I'd rather just beat somebody, like, by outrunning them or whatever.
Yeah, counterattack.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's how I do it.
Yeah, see, and so Ronaldo, he's just so much faster, like, sprint-wise. And, like, you know, I will say Messi's dribbling is insane, and I'm not really sure how a human can do that. Yeah, and it's just like, but, like, with Ronaldo, he has enough skill to get you through guys if he needs to, but he's probably going to outrun them first. He has a lot of power on his shots. Like, Messi's really good at finishing inside the box. He's amazing at that, at placing the ball, and even sometimes from out of the box. But Ronaldo, just, like, if you watch their highlights, like, Ronaldo has a lot more outside of the box. If he's in the box, it's usually a header. But that's kind of how I got to my conclusion, is just that he worked better for me in FIFA, and so...
I got you. Yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing about comparisons, and... Usually I try to avoid them, say, like, who's better.
Yeah.
Unless it's completely obvious. But, I mean, it's really for them, it's a matter of style of play.
Yeah.
You know, if they were both playing the same style of play, it depends on which one they're playing to see who would be better.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, but either way, I mean, neither one of these guys is going to be the best for very long because, I mean, there's this guy on FIFA. His name's Wayne Chadwick.
Wayne Chadwick, huh?
Yeah. And... Yeah, he's just a new guy on Real Salt Lake. I mean, within the next year or so, you know, I bet he scores way more than them and assists as well. And just overall, I mean, I don't think his team's going to lose. Just based on that first game I watched, he was just unstoppable.
He was just unstoppable, huh?
And just knowing, like, his background.
Oh, okay.
He's just an amazing, amazing player.
Yeah.
So he's definitely going to be the best in the world and... It's like that the Pokemon song, since they were talking about Pokemon Go on the morning show.
Oh, yeah, they were.
It's just like, I want to be the very best, like no one ever was.
There you go. that's true. Like, it's hard to compare those two, and that's what a lot of people will say, is like, well, you can't compare them. And, like, even on, like, so I'm telling you, like, I like Ronaldo a lot. I actually have his documentary I've watched, and it's pretty crazy, like, when he was... it shows kind of like him going to the Ballon d'Or, which is an award that they do for, like, best Europe player.
Yeah.
And it's went back and forth between him and Messi for the last couple of years. But that year he had actually won it, and it shows him and Messi before, and, like, they're just hanging out, like, nothing. Like, I mean, they don't, I wouldn't say they like each other, but at the same time, it's not like, hey, I hate you, you know?
Well, I mean, I'm sure that they like each other well enough. I just, They may not be like best friends, but yeah. I'm sure that they like each other well enough.
Yeah, and then you look at like Sergio Ramos, who's a defender for Real Madrid. Him and Messi hate each other because they play against each other.
Yeah,
like all the time.
Messi and Ronaldo's, they're both forwards, and so they're at opposite ends of the field the whole time. So
they
don't ever have any direct contact.
Yeah, and it's kind of like I was explaining to somebody the other day who was asking me why I liked Ronaldo because, you know, after the game they interviewed him and they said like, you know, they were kind of like, what do you think about the Portugal game? Like about your team? Like they went on and won without you, kind of thing. It's like, you know, the normal stuff, like, well, I'm glad for my country, like, you know, it's been a fun tournament. But then he said, I deserve this, you know, like stuff like that. And it's just so funny because, like, it's like people like Kobe Bryant. Like, a lot of people don't like him because he's cocky, but a lot of people love him because he is. And that's how I am with Ronaldo. Like, he's so cocky and it's so funny, and I just love it.
I mean, the thing for me is just, like, the most recent time that – you know, they played against each other in their club teams.
Yeah.
Yeah, who came out on top? Well, Ronaldo.
Yeah, Ronaldo scored the last goal, yeah.
Yeah, and so, I mean, Real Madrid, you know, they won against Barcelona, which Barcelona is so stacked.
Yeah. Yeah, like...
Apparently, Real Madrid is as well, but...
Yeah.
I mean, with Barcelona, they have... You know, Messi, Neymar, and Suarez is their attack. I mean, are you kidding me?
Yeah, no, it's they talk about that quite a bit, about the two attacking. Because, like, obviously Madrid isn't, like, you know, they're pretty stacked too. Like, they have Gareth Bale and Benzema. But, like, you put those up against Neymar. I guess Benzema, Neymar is pretty close. But the Suarez, Benzema, I don't think is as close. Benzema is just not as good.
And then you have Messi, I mean.
Yeah.
Like, it's... I feel like it's not even fair for most teams. But, yeah, I was surprised. I thought that Barcelona would win, but, you know, Real Madrid went out and won, so.
Yeah, I was actually watching that game at Buffalo Wild Wings, and there was a lot of Barcelona fans, so very few Madrid fans. And
I just feel like, I don't know, the Barcelona is just kind of a bandwagon team for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are some big fans, but, I mean... For me, I don't know how you become a big, like, Spanish league fan when you're here in America.
No, yeah, I can understand that. That's actually kind of funny, too, because I was talking about that the other day with one of my friends. So when I first joined the soccer world, obviously Real Salt Lake was my favorite team, still is. And then my second team was originally Chelsea. But it wasn't, like, that I liked Chelsea as a whole. It was I liked David Luiz, who has, like, a big afro thing, right? And it was just because I could identify him easily on FIFA. So I just knew who he was. Well, then he got traded to PSG, and I hate PSG. One, because I don't like France. And second, because they're kind of like the Yankees of soccer. They just buy a lot of players, but they're not very good.
Yeah.
And anyway, so then I don't even really know what happened. Like, all of a sudden, I started playing FIFA online. And I tried playing with Chelsea, and I just get my butt kicked again and again. And I was like, why don't I just play with, like, Barcelona or Madrid? Like, they're the best teams. Why don't I just play with them online?
Yeah.
And so then I started playing with Ronaldo, and I was like, oh, my gosh, this guy's, like, my key piece to my play. And then from then on, I just always – it's not even that I really like Madrid as a whole team. I just like players, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, that's fine for me. Like, if you like a certain player, I mean, cool. I feel like a lot of people just say they like Messi because they know he's really good.
Right.
And I don't think a lot of people, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but I think a lot of people, you know, they just cheer for Messi because they've heard of him.
Right.
And they've been told that he's really good, and they're like, yeah, I'm a Messi fan. It's like, oh, yeah? Do you know anything about Messi?
Right. Do you know anything about him?
When people are, like, surprised when they find out that Messi's from Argentina. Oh, I didn't know he's from Argentina. It's like,
yeah.
I thought you said you were a fan.
Actually.
That is a very basic fact.
Yeah. No, super funny. So the other day I was walking with one of my roommates and we were talking about soccer. And he's been watching soccer, like, for the last year or so. And obviously he knows all these players. And I was like, yeah, Portugal's going to play France in the Euros on Sunday. And he's like, wait, where isn't? Why is Portugal playing in that? And I was like, what do you mean? They like won, they're in it. It's like, no, I mean, I thought, like, isn't Portugal in South America? And he, like, my roommate, I honestly thought that Portugal was in South America.
Oh, that's awful.
And I think it was just the Messi-Ronaldo rivalry. Like, he just thought that maybe their countries were close together as well. I don't know. But
how do you not know that Portugal is in Europe?
I don't know.
I mean, obviously, I mean, Brazil, they speak Portuguese, but yeah. It's a little bit different than the Portugal Portuguese.
Yeah, and it was just really,
it was basic geography, people.
No,
basic geography.
And I gotta say, if he is listening to the show, because he'll know who I'm talking to, he's a really smart guy, like one of the smartest guys I've known. But I guess just Portugal slipped away from him. I don't know.
Apparently, I just think it's funny when people don't have a clue where things are geographically speaking. And this is like an example going back. There was some like, I think it was like when they did like some kind of a survey a few years ago where they were asking people if they knew where different states were.
Yeah.
And they were like, weren't even close.
Wow.
They're like just guessing and they have no idea.
Man.
It's like, I can tell you any state when I see it, like where it is on the map or its shape most of the time.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they're all distinctive.
Right.
Also, I guess it helps that I have a good memory and I've always been good at like geography and history and stuff. So.
Right.
So maybe, I mean, maybe I'm being a little bit hard on people, but I just don't think it's that hard.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't expect you to know every nation in Europe, but I mean, Portugal is a prominent one.
Yeah.
Like Spain, Portugal, France, Germany, you should know at least generally where those are at.
Right. And I guess I can understand because Portugal kind of is just like this little corner piece of Spain, but I don't know.
I'll tell you after we're off the air, there's a funny thing that about Portugal.
Okay.
I don't think I can on the air.
Okay. All right. And then I guess with the last few minutes here, I'll just do a really quick preview of Real Salt Lake's games this week. So on Wednesday, we play Vancouver, which is in Canada, which is right above us, in case anybody's confused.
Oh, Canada.
Yeah, and they're a middle-of-the-pack team. They've done...
Genovia, the land I call my home.
That's, yeah. No, and they've been struggling a little bit. They've gotten some ties, but they've lost their last few, so... That, you know, can't take them lightly. It's another home game. We definitely need 3 points.
Got to win. Got to win at home.
Yep. And then on Saturday, we play New England, who's done a little bit better, but they're also middle of the pack for the Eastern Conference. So, they've had a rough year, but they've been doing better the last few games. So, 2 games at home this week. If you can get to them, I would.
Get her done.
And you can buy tickets on StubHub. That's where I buy my tickets. They're like, you can get them for like $9. Like, and then the thing is a little secret for everybody that's listening to our show, all 5 of you, that if you buy a ticket, like random places in the stadium that are really bad for $9, you can go sit in the supporter sections down in section 10 and 9, which is right behind the goals. Great seats.
Go stand is what he means to say. Yeah. Not go sit.
You don't go stand. You stand. So it's really fun environment though. Definitely not kid friendly though. Don't bring kids there.
Just like don't take kids to Deadpool.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, obviously that's done now, but I mean, I just think it's funny that Ryan Reynolds did like a whole like commercial thing,
right,
in the Deadpool costume where he said, "Hey, this movie is rated R for a reason. Like, right. Don't take your kids to it."
Yeah, well,
and it's just like, first off, rated R, yeah, you probably shouldn't take your kids to that anyway. Right.
Yeah.
And if at the very least, at least watch it before you decide you're going to take your kids.
No, that...
And then he has to go on and say that. And there were still tons of examples of people who took their kids and were really offended and had to leave because it was not a kid-appropriate movie. It's rated R.
Right.
And if you look at what it's rated R for, like, obviously it's not a kid-friendly movie.
Yeah.
And he even said the thing beforehand, like, you know, don't bring your kids to this. Yeah, like, this is not a kids show.
Yeah.
And people still did it. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, like, the things that people complain about now, like, even knowing.
But this is slightly different. I mean, it's not like there's a rating system on that part of the stadium. So we're giving you the inside scoop, or at least, yeah, Sean is.
Yeah. It's fun environment, but if you don't like swearing, I wouldn't sit there.
If you don't care, I guess go for it.
Yeah, go for it. Have fun. But yeah, so this has been LA Utah State. Next week, we're trying to set up an interview with either head coach Jeff Cassar or one of the former players, either Andy Williams. So
that we're going to play here on the show next week. So
yeah, on Monday. So
make sure you tune in on Wednesday for my show, The Bullpen, at 9 o'clock. And also on Friday, we're going to talk about a lot of stuff, sports. There's also You Like That Radio on Thursday, hopefully, as long as the host isn't called into work again, which is what happened last time. He got called in like that morning and kind of ruined it because he wanted to talk about NBA free agency. But there's also a show tomorrow at 5 o'clock in the evening where we're going to be it's over-competitive bystanders. So make sure you tune in for that because we talk about some interesting stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, so thanks everyone for listening. You've been great. All the feedback. No, we haven't had any feedback. No. But but yeah, I mean, thanks for listening. We're going to put this up online pretty quick. So yeah, I mean, ole, 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 Utah State.
There we go. All right, so we're going to leave you with Hutch, Give Me Some More. And
I'll just give it a second. It's not responding. Okay, now push play.
All right. See you guys next week.
Have a good one.